Jewish kingdom restored. Herod the Great, the Roman Wars, Chapter 2, the Diaspora and Eretz Israel, the Aliyah, Chapter 3, the Zionist Movement. 1887-1948, the beginnings, the Balfour Declaration, the British White Paper, the Jewish Underground and Terrorism, Partitions and the Birth of Israel. Z Chapter 4, the Arab-Israel Wars, the War of Independence and Israeli Mythology. War, Terror and Refugees. 1948-49, the Myth of Voluntary Exodus, the 1956 Sinai War, the 1967 Six-Day War, the October 1973 War. Chapter 5, The Search for Peace. 59, the Ford Administration. 61, the Carter Peace Offensive. 61, Camp David. 77, Begin. Rejects UN Resolution 242. 79, Second Begin Government. 1981-83-82. Chapter 6, The Israeli Lobby. 84, Jews and Political Activism. 89, AIPAC. 93, The Taboo. 96, The Anti-Defamation League and the First Amendment. 97, Senator Fulbright Speaks Out. 102. Chapter 7, The Israeli Lobby in Action. 105, Is the Political Power of AIPAC a Myth? 108, The McCloskey Case. 112, The Quintessential Lobbyist. 113, Congressman Daimler's Dilemma. 115, The Case of Congressman Ed Shaw. 116, The Adlai Stevenson 3 Candidacy. 117, A Profile in Courage. 112, Senator William Hathaway's Defeat. 124, The Loss to the Senate of Charles Percy. 116, George Ball's Words of Wisdom. 12.8, The Arab Trade Boycott. 130, The Lobby and the Jackson-Vanik Amendment. 139, Chapter 8, Israel and the United States, The Special Relationship. 140, The Mystery of the USS Liberty. 141, Our Leaky Fortress. 143, The Pollard Spy Case. 153, The Israeli Lobby and Dual Loyalty. 157, Chapter 9, American Jerry and Free Speech. 161, Chapter 10, Israel in Crisis. 171, The Lebanese War. 1982-83-171, Religious Fanaticism. 177, Genocide and the Palestinian Problem. 185, The Racial Superiority of the Jews. 186, Idolatry and the Fate of the Christian Arabs. 191, Chapter 11, Saving Israel from Suicide. 193, The Israeli Mystique. 193, Is Zionism Racism? Zo 3, The Rise of Xenophobia. 107, The Untouchables UI, The Arab Nations and Israeli Expansionism. 2.17, Israel and the United States versus the World. 2.2.2, Religious Fanaticism in the Nuclear Age. 124, The Samson Complex. 2.2.9, Chapter 12, The Issues. 2.38, Issue I, The Problem of the Palestinian Refugees. 2.39, Issue 2nd, The Return by Israel of the Occupied Territories. 240, Issue 3rd, The Establishment of a Palestinian State. 241, The Case of the Cherokee Nation. 247, The Case of Ireland. 249, Chapter 13, Israel's Dilemma. 153, How did Israel get into this excruciating dilemma? 2.54, The Die is Cast. 2.56, Facing the Realities. 2.59, The First Reality. 2.59, The Second Reality. 2.61, Sharon and His Final Solution. 2.63, Logic, Not Prophecy. 2.66, A Holy War. 2.67, Chapter 14, A Carrot Carrot, 7i, Introduction. How the book was written. F. Iced, and most important, the book has been written in a race against time. One of the major challenges has been to keep ahead of current events. The subject matter of the book is so highly controversial and emotionally charged that writing it has involved special problems. The format, therefore, has been determined more by necessity than by choice, and, in some respects, departs from customary book structure. As many writers and speakers have learned, it is virtually impossible for a non-Jewish author or speaker to write or say anything having to do with Israel or the Jewish people that cannot be interpreted by someone as veiled, if not blatant, anti-Semitism. The only completely safe course to follow is to write or say nothing on the subject, which is the conventional wisdom. An alternative may be to support and establish a position upon the basis of sources and authorities that have unimpeachable credentials and are immune to any suggestion of anti-Semitism. The latter course has been the choice adopted for this book. Accordingly, with few exceptions, this book relies almost exclusively on the following sources and authorities. 1. Well-known and highly respected Israeli and Jewish writers. 2. Members, or former members, of the Israeli government. 3. Well-known and generally accepted historians. 4. Responsible and objective news media, that is, the Jerusalem Post, International Edition, the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, Newsweek, US News and World Report, Fortune, Business Week, the Wall Street Journal, Network Television, etc. 5. Members of Congress and the Executive Branch of the United States. 6. The Congressional Record and Other Public Documents. 7. The Encyclopedia Judaica and the Encyclopedia Britannica. To avoid a charge that the sources and authorities have been misquoted, selectively quoted, or quoted out of context, the quoted material relied upon to support various positions taken in this book has been set forth verbatim. This approach also serves to reduce the number of source or reference notes at the end of the book, since, in most cases, the sources are set forth in the text itself. This gives the reader the benefit of knowing immediately, before reading the material, the authority relied upon by the author for the preface. His book is concerned with the Israeli-Palestinian JL crisis and the threat it poses to the survival of Israel and to world. It is not primarily intended as a literary work, but rather as a means of advancing a plan for peace in the Middle East. Many of the positions taken in this book reflect not only the views of the author, but also the opinions of many prominent Israelis, as well as those of important members of the American Jewish community. The following, in summary form, are the contentions of the author as set 1. The present Likud government of Israel has embarked on a suicidal course which, if allowed to continue, will lead inevitably to the 2. Today, as so often in its tragic history, Israel is the victim of the folly. 3. The survival of Israel is too important to leave solely in the hands of 4. The continuance in power of the Likud government, despite its disastrous policies, has been made possible by the well-meaning, but misguided and blind support of the American Jewish establishment. Acting through the Israeli lobby, it has frustrated and defeated efforts on the part of the US and others to bring peace to Israel. And the 5. The American Jewish leadership is not listening to the urgent voices of reason from Israel, that is, Abayaban, Yehoshaphat Huckabee, Simcha Flapan, Amos Perlmutter, and many others, who are alarmed and fear. 6. The time has come when the Israeli people desperately need the intervention of the diaspora to save Israel from its government, before it is too late. 7. The historic events that have occurred in the Middle East over the past year have provided an unprecedented opportunity to bring about a peaceful settlement of the central issue, the future of the West Bank, Gaza, and a Palestinian state. The intent and purpose of this book is to offer a solution to the Middle East crisis and to outline a plan for peace between Israel and the Palestinians, which will provide for Israel the security it needs, and at the same time, will satisfy the right of the Palestinian people to an independent sovereign state. As the US government continues to be intimidated and paralyzed by the Israeli lobby, and the American Jewish leadership continues to remain aloof from this crisis, all that stands between Israel and catastrophe is the voice of the American Jewish community. If American Jewry does not respond at this critical moment in Israel's history, they must be prepared to accept the inevitability of a new Holocaust with the Jews of Israel among the victims. Chapter 1. The March of Folly. In her recent book entitled The March of Folly, distinguished author-historian, the late Barbara Tuchman, explains what the title of her book is intended to mean. A phenomenon noticeable throughout history regardless of place or period is a pursuit by governments of policies contrary to their own interests. Mankind, it seems, makes a poorer performance of government than of almost any other human activity. In this sphere, wisdom, which may be defined as the exercise of judgment acting on experience, common sense, and available information, is less operative and more frustrated than it should be. Why do holders of high office so often act contrary to the way reason points and enlightened self-interest suggests? Why does intelligent mental process seem so often not to function? She defines it as the pursuit of policy contrary to self-interest,